There are many prayers that are said, and today my message is simply on prayer, personal prayer. We look at prayer and we know that it's the strongest connection between man and God. It's the medium of coming face to face with God. There is no beating around the bush, because he already knows our thoughts before they were conjured and dawned in our minds, let alone the reason for such a dialogue. My perception leads me to believe that this pleases God, as this is the most tangible congregation of keeping in touch with our Creator. For the many reasons we think of, the good reasons that this dialogue would conjure is that what we might as well realize the most tangible aspect of this interaction. In many areas of our needs and meaningful worship, it's always us on a personal basis to open into a personal dialogue with God, to remove the cobwebs of our souls and to contritely ask and seek forgiveness for our transgressions, and to give thanks and praise through the worship to the Almighty. This is up and personal dialogue with God. It has nothing to do with congregational worship, which we share at church here on Sundays and other times when two or three are gathered together in unison of praise. It's beyond the unison we share in praise, although we are reminded by the scriptures that in a crowd or even two or three, when they are gathered to offer praise and share the worship, God is there also. I am in no way indicating that this worship, like what we have here, is not good enough. Sure it is. Because the belief in the Holy Bible tells us it is. There is strength in numbers, and it pleases God. But this praise in unison, and if all the congregation were to offer, not silently but vocally, aloud, one's focus could be deterred. Thus, such a setting, there is a need for the order of service, which alludes to what we are now in the process of communal worship. And my encouragement of up and personal worship or prayer to God is a way that this message is encouraging, and why it's simply because on a personal basis, only we ourselves individually knows what God has done for us. Only we know that on a personal basis, what he is doing for us, the changes and allowances, the guidance and the protection, the joy that we receive, only God alone can give us. Let's go back to Jesus himself, the Son of God, the emanation of God on earth. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it seemed what cruelty was ahead of him to bear, he prayed after leaving the rest of the disciples, excluding Judas, who had already left. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee and went a little way off from the rest, and he began to grieve on what was to become the theme. He sent away after telling them he was grieved and was agitated. Then he said to them, "Remain here," and went a little way off and threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. There we find Jesus going personal with God the Father about the pains he were about to bear. Yet, not what I want for you. I want this to be the relevant power of prayer. He knew what pain was ahead, but he prayed, and through all pain and suffering on the cross, he endured, and after literal death, he arose and seated on high at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He reminds us of this preparation of a place for us. If prayer was relevant for Jesus, who was sinless, faced and bore pain of a brutal death, it would be more integral. Remember the power of prayer for us to praise God through Jesus Christ by using the power of prayer not only for ourselves but for all around us, that we may touch hearts and minds and change and bring all we come into contact with. Whether we are with them or not, remember the love of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is so good and great, it should be shared by all. And now the process of communal worship. Lots around us that is not really conducive to righteous living. And we have to pray for these things. As I mentioned earlier on, in the section of prayer for the people, we just can't stand the problems of crime. Crime, especially when it's meted out against another fellow person. The murders, it's happening at such a young and tender age. We need prayer now. We need direct contact now more than ever. Because in an age where people have alluded and are more educated to doing the right thing, we still find a superfluous amount of problems coming from butchery of each other. It's like the human life doesn't worth anything anymore. We are the only ones who can make it worthwhile, and it begins right here with us, at church and in our hearts, silently. The Holy Bible, which is the ultimate source of truth and Christian endeavor, is the source which shows us to pray unceasingly, to remain steadfast in God's love and protection. But we often fall short and prone to errors that deflates the effort of our prayers. Because we are apt to conjure in our small minds that prayer is like a one-way street, we just go on and on asking and looking for all we prayed for to happen or to receive in part, if not in a plenty. At times we may try to impress upon God that we are penitent and will wait. We may not say it in our prayers, but we keep yearning for it. It's like sometimes we are praying for something, but deep down we are hoping for something else. Whatever it is that we prayed for to get or to happen, and then it's missed. We missed it completely. We were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but we missed it. We looked right past it. How could this have happened? Are we not concentrating enough? When we are praying, are we just reciting words that come to our lips? Probably. What we need is to really get to the bottom of ourselves. Cleansing is something that we dearly need to begin with. We have to be cleansed to talk to the Master. We missed it because we did not all use the ramifications involved. You think it was like onto a one-way street because you prayed for it would happen. it would come to pass. Because for you it was a one-way street. Listen, sometimes we have a process of looking at something on a special focus, and then there's the other side. As I mentioned, a one-way street, sometimes we are going down a one-way street and we believe we are going into a dead end. But when you look on the other side, the sign that you saw leads the other way. So it's not a one-way street. It's two ways. And we have to look at things from both ends. Not only for the love of wanting to get, but wanting to praise, wanting to be thankful for. These are the things that we need to do. And these are the things that are not done really in a prayer like where a lot of our people are gathered, because sometimes, as I say, it's up and personal. So you pray for what you think you need, but then what you think you need maybe is not what God wants for you. So even when you pray for what you think you need and what you think you want, God has other plans for you. And this is what we must abide by watching and waiting. Be patient. Wait upon God. Whatever he has in store for you, you will get it. And the glorification of it all is to be in God's household when you pass through this dispensation. So what we have to do now is to live for it. Not just for asking about this. I want this, I want that. We got to look on the other side. We got to look on the other side and see the arrow pointing in a different direction. Suddenly you reach the end of what you hoped for. It was not there. What you prayed for was not there. Your needs were not met. Now don't get brokenhearted and give up. Now is the time when you must show all the resilience you have. What was conjured in you, what you manifested to everyone around you about your love for God and where God is taking you. Now is the time you have to stand up and say, this was not for me. And wait on God for whatever it is. Don't get brokenhearted and give up. The first time you looked on the other side, you saw an arrow pointing in. Wanted it. The way it turned out not to be, just happened. And what you are going to do? Are you going to give up? Are you going to give up on God? You can't give up on God, because it's your only hope. It's our only hope. You look around you, and as I mentioned earlier, the debauchery and butchery we see in society, not this society alone, it's worldwide. It's like it's something that has to be done. It doesn't have to be. It's just because we are not waiting on God. We are not waiting on God as individuals. We are not waiting on God as nations. We pretend that we have a peace, but it's uneasy. There are more wars now than has ever been, or just as much that there has ever been. We know the cure to it. The cure is living in fellowship, asking God to lead us, and following God. Not dictating to God what you want, what I must get. That's not it. Prayer can take us there. Prayer is the most tangible means of getting together with God. We have to pray. We have to pray contritely. We have to pray with the belief that what we are doing pleases God. And then we'll be pleased. We'll be given minds of peace, things we can live with. You could return from that one-way street and go in the other way, and still hoping there would be a pot of gold at the end of your rainbow of dreams, but not what you assumed would be given to you from God, because he knows what's best for you. You must remember, we are never in a position never ever in a position to dictate to God. We can't. And that is something we have to come to grips with when we say, God, I want this. You can ask simply, God, lead me. Whatever is mine, when it's given to me, I'll care it. I'll cherish it. I'll take care of it. However small, infinitesimal, however unworthy it might look to others, it's yours. You know what you need. And what you need more than anything else is a dialogue with God. You need God's love. And you can't get it by dictating that, I need this, I want this. We do that. It's not what you think you need or what you must get. All you have to do is praise Him through the power of prayer. Praise the Savior Jesus Christ, the Emancipator, because no one goes to the Father. We sometimes want to go directly to God, but we got to go to God through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came here on earth, lived among men, lived among us, lived among humankind, so that we could get to see what it needs to take us into the kingdom. It's not that, well, God, I'm ready to go. It's doing the works that what Jesus laid down. And it's in the Beatitudes. We should have read the Beatitudes this morning, but there probably was some mix-up about it. But you read the Beatitudes on your own anytime at home. And you will see where it starts with blessed. Blessings. That's what we need. We need God's blessing. Jesus showed us the way. Remember, before you had the law. You had the law where you had the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, I wouldn't say it was rigid, but it was just a little bit too much that we as men could think we could do. And God, see, we weren't going the way of the commandments. We weren't going the way of the law. But God is so compassionate that He sent Jesus to redeem us. To redeem us. Showing where the blessing is. Showing what we must do to our fellow men. Showing how we should live in praise to Him. And these are the things that is needed most now as it was needed then. It's probably needed more now than then because the population has failed. Probably that's one of the reasons. But we are off on a tangent that is nothing but destruction. It's destructive. Sometimes we destroy ourselves by getting things and using it the wrong way. I'm not going to go into what these things are. We are all human, and we know sometimes we let material things lead us astray. Material things is good. It's comforting. Sometimes you get it by the sweat of your brow, but then you can't worship it. It can't talk back to you. And we honor a lot of material things. I'm going to give you a little story. You could say rich or of means. And he had a car. And it was a Cadillac. And in those days, the Cadillac was the thing. And driving one day, somebody passed very close to him. And he heard that ting. He came out, took a look. And a little scratch, dropped dead. Dropped dead. This is no joke. This is the truth. What? Material things? Just looked at it? A scratch on a car? and you die for it. You are so agitated. It reaches you so much. No, we can't do that. So we go back to personal prayer. Personal prayer is what you know of the connection with God. God already knows what is good for you, what you need. Yes, we need health, but sometimes it doesn't come our way. But we got to learn to live with it and be satisfied. We still pray and we are still thankful. Sometimes we get relief from whatever it is. And during that period of relief, it's going to be a blessing, because when it was hurting, you were really feeling pain. It might be mental pain and not physical pain. Sometimes you are so perturbed. Instead of doing something rash or feeling too sorry for yourself, remember God is there for you. He's always there for you. But remember Jesus Christ, because no one goes to the Father except through the Son. For us to receive God's grace, we must go through Jesus. It's not what you want. Do His works here on earth without a murmur, and your blessings will be multiplied and stored in heaven. All praises be to God on high, through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Let the Spirit guide us. Let the Spirit guide us. Never be too taken up not to let the Spirit guide you. It's only one Spirit. The Spirit of God through Jesus is the Spirit we need. We don't need other spirits. We need the Spirit of God to guide us. We need to apprehend ourselves. We know when we are doing something wrong, we are going down the wrong road. We know it. And then remember the Beatitudes. Remember who Christ suffered for us. These are the things. These are the things that can never grow old in your mind. These are the things that will always be with you. Keep them awake. Keep it awake in your system. You're driving on the road and you feel to say, "Thank you, God, for this beautiful day." Yes, God is pleased. God is pleased. You might be getting wet in the rain. Thank you, God, for the rain. I'm getting wet. Yes, I might take a cool, I might not, but it makes the flowers grow. It makes the crops come in. It makes the crops survive. Wherever there's a drought, something is dying. And if we have a drought in our system, the drought of God's love, the drought of our paying attention and paying homage to God, if we allow that drought to be in us, our souls wouldn't worth a thing. So we have to look beyond this life. We have to look beyond this life through Jesus Christ. We have to do the things that we know that is upholding. We have to do these things. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, we have to do it as a body, as a Christian body. We have to make our light shine out there that it can emanate to others. We need to bring more people in here. Ask them to come. Some is not going to come. Most won't probably. But we have to keep on doing the work of God, or else we are useless Christians. There's no such thing as a useless Christian. Once you're a Christian, you can't be useless. Just use what you have. Just use it. And we'll have a better place. Spread what you can, however you can, in all the ways you can. Glory be to God in the highest, through Jesus Christ. Amen.